When we take a look at the second half of the Aserta Dibrot, of the Ten Statements, very famous, you shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness against your fellow. The next pasuk, you shall not covet your fellow's house, you shall not covet your fellow's wife, manservant, maidservant, his ox, his donkey, nor anything that belongs to your fellow. And we know that all of these things are part of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's commandment, really dovetailing Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Someone who truly believes in God as the creator and sustainer of life will not commit any of these sins, as the article of commentary points out. The question we need to ask ourselves is a question that many of the Mefarshim raise. Ruach Eliyahu, source number 3, he says, and this is the Bali Musar describe, imagine, you know, Lahavdil, but a great professor or a Talmid Chacham, a Gadol Dor, gets everybody together and says, I'm going to give, you know, the speech. And they get up and they say, don't kill, don't steal, don't commit adultery. They're like, duh, right? Kadosh Baruch Hu kivyachol lahavdil, right? It's gathering the entire people together, women, children. This is the revelation. And what does he say? Lo tirtzach, lo tinaf, lo tignov. He says, are these not things that are obvious in our own minds? Why would we expect, or how do we understand that a Kadosh Baruch Hu at this great event is teaching us these laws? Now again, if you hold like the Rasat, Sadyagon, that all 613 mitzvot are found here, so there are categories of mitzvot, I understand. But Pshut El Shomikra, we need to understand these mitzvot, these lavim, we need to understand and get a context of what the Torah is really telling us. And we'll see that there's a lot more than meets the eye. In order to appreciate, we'll move almost from outward inward, in order to appreciate the nuances found in these lavim, we need to first be able to have a global view, a forest view, before we look at the trees, of what the Aserta Dibros are all about, or what are these Dibros as a category all about, and then we can examine them individually. So the Malbim points out, very interesting in 4, that in both sides of the Luchos, you have mitzvos that have to do with thought, action, and speech. So in the first side, you have belief in God is a thought, right? And not accepting no other powers of God. Speech, not swearing falsely, remembering Shabbos. Action, restraining oneself from making a statue, honoring one's parents. Right? You have it in all three dimensions. And he says, likewise, in the second set of luchos, lo tachmod is in thought, and not to steal is in action, not to kill, not to kidnap, and not being tail-bearing, and not to bear false witness testimony against your friend, that's obviously speech. So we have in both of these sides aspects that encompass the entirety of the human personality, the mind, the speech, and the action. When we look more specifically at the second part of the Luchos, we note in Source 6 that these 5 commandments of Munk are all worded in the negative form. Similarly, one's duties as members of society are first and foremost restrictive, abstaining from anything which might harm the life of others and their enjoyment of their goods and possessions. The law is not meant as a maxim requirement, rather represents the ethical minimum for man's interrelations with his fellow man, and a guarantee that peace and order is maintained. With this idea in mind, we can appreciate Rav Hirsch, where Rav Hirsch looks at the two sides of the Luchos in the following way. He says in Source 7, the first 5 commandments proclaim the duty of recognizing and acknowledging Hashem as the master of our fate and the guide of our actions. The Anochi in the positive, the Loli Elecha in the negative, establishes recognition as the basis of individual and social life. Lo Tisa ensures the practical fulfillment of this recognition through Homer, it says, renewed each week, which is a Zohar, Yom HaShabbos HaKadosh, and we preserve this recognition through continuous transmission from generation to generation, and through the parents, through the children, which is Kaveda Navicha Vetimecha. So once we have all of this, that we know Kadosh Baruch Hu exists, we're not going to use his name in vain, we're going to remember the awareness of Hashem, God is the creator, every day of the week, and we're going to pass this on from one generation to another, we can now appreciate the second part. The first five commandments that now follow proclaim the implications of this recognition and acknowledgement for life in society. So the first half, notes for our first, is awareness. So we have to know Hashem exists, and we have to allow that awareness to really penetrate throughout our entire lives. Now that I have this awareness, now I have to be able to bring that into my life. If God is the sole master of your fate, and if He's to be the sole guide of all your actions, then each and every one of your fellow men too must likewise be under His care. And any action you take against your fellow man will come under His observation. God sustains your fellow man just as He sustains you, makes him a human being, and endows him with the same rights with which He endowed you. All that is his life, his marriage, his freedom, his happiness, his honor, his possessions, has been sanctified unto him by God. Therefore, you must not murder him, you must not destroy his marriage, you must not deprive him of his freedom, etc. And recognize that Hashem is in charge of him as much as it's in charge of you. The Vayivinu Bamikra takes this in step 10, one step deeper. And he says, we end the Aseret HaDibrot with the phrase, V'chol Asher L'Re'echa. If you really believe in Anochi Hashem Elokecha, if you really believe that Hashem is your God, then as Rav Hirsch said, you'll believe that He's a God over you and a God over your friend, and will treat your friend accordingly. But much deeper than that, says Vayivinu Bamikra, is that if you really believe, V'chol Asher L'Re'echa, that God is really in control of that which has to do with your friend, then you understand that whatever happens is directed by Hashem. And if somebody says something to you, or someone does something to you, you understand that there's a direct hashkacha, there's a direct divine providence, and then who are you to murder them? Who are you to speak about them negatively? Who are you to harm them in any way? If you understand that there is a HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking care of everything, if you understand the Anochi, which is the bedrock of what all of Yiddishkeit, what the Aseret HaDibrot are about, so then you're going to treat your friend with understanding they're also created in the image of God, and that what all that happens is coming from the Hashgacha Pratit, and our understanding of our interpersonal relationship takes on a whole different vantage point. It's not just somebody else. It's part of a larger plan, and we're all children of Hashem. Indeed, in Source 9, the Vayivinu Bamikra points out something very fascinating. He says, you have four dibros in one pasuk. Lo tirsach, lo tinaf, right? Lo tenebrei echad shaker, lo tignovu. And then lo tachmod, not to covet, is in a separate pasuk. Why not put them all together, all separate? And he says very simply, he says, just like Anochi Hashem Elokecha is the source of all the mitzvot ben adam l'makom, between man and God, lo tachmod, not to covet, is really the source of all the ideas between man and fellow man. If you don't covet which doesn't belong to somebody else, and you recognize that this is what they're supposed to have, you're not going to steal from them, you're not going to kill them, you're not going to harm them anyway. It all starts from, and this is the Ramban, it all starts from the fact, Umishalo Yachmo lo yazik lo lam l'chavei rad kan l'shono. One who doesn't covet, it's not going to want to hurt somebody else. If we had to choose of the two to focus in on that will help us with all others, it's Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And if you understand Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and you really understand that Hashem divvies out to everyone exactly what they need, then there's no room for lo tachmod, for coveting. And if there's no room for coveting, then all the negative feelings that will come up if you do covet won't happen, and we'll live in a much better society. With this in mind, that what we are dealing with here is much more than just, as we'll see, interpersonal relationships, interpersonal injunctions. What we're dealing with here is God invoking within us these laws, and they're coming from the place of divinity and not the place of our own seichel. We're coming here with an understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of the entirety of the world. And this is really borne out in an idea we've spoken about many times in the Matnat Chaim in Source number 11, where he speaks about, based on the Mabit, the Sefer Beit Elokim, that the two sides of the Luchos were equal when you looked at them. so that the Anochi Hashem Elokecha was written, was engraved smaller than the little Tirtzach, which was on the parallel side. So that when you looked at them, you saw them as equal, and therefore Lo Tirtzach, which takes up far less words than Anochi Hashem Elokecha Shesesicha Meretz Yitzrayim, had to be written much bigger to take up the same amount of space. And that was in order to be able for the onlooker to be able to see with clarity that don't just look at this event of Mamad Har Sinai as an event where God is commanding us between man and God, but this is very much about man and fellow man. Yes, he's bringing everyone together and telling them, do not kill, do not kidnap, do not do these things. Because you have to understand that these are things that are coming from Hashem, and they're not just coming from societal law, and hence they're written much bigger. And there is a danger, Rav Asisiyahu continues in source number 12. He says there's a danger in the mitzvot ben adam l'chaveiro. And the danger is twofold. One is, ein anu mitjachasin l'mitzvot ben adam l'chaveiro b'otov d'chilu v'rechiu kimo l'mitzvot ben adam l'mako. We don't treat the mitzvot ben adam l'chaveiro with the same awe and trepidation and, you know, intensity of inspiration as we do laws between man and God, right? We take a little bit of stroke, wow, so much kavana. You know, I help somebody cross the street, nah, I'm doing them a favor. I don't have that same passion in doing it. And the second aspect, which is missing in Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, is that people think, Kevan Shemasig et HaMitzvah B'Sichlo, since people think it's a logical mitzvah, Hari Ugam Magbil et HaMitzvah Yidei Sichlo, so then we limit it based on our logic. Uma she'eino secho mechayev, baragah ben adam v'chaveru, kvar choshev adam she'eino mechuyav. And whatever we think is not included in it, based on our mind, we don't do. And it's very much something that is rooted in us, in our understanding of interpersonal relationship, and not what Hashem commanded. And this is why it is an imperative that the mitzvot, which seems to be so logical, don't kill, don't steal, etc., right? Whether it's don't steal, it's kidnapping, or actually stealing, machlokes among the Rishonim. But something we think is so logical, understand that Hashem B'davka is telling us this, because there is nothing logical. Everything is divine. Rabbi Sisyahu continues, and he says in 13, we know the famous Medrash, where the Umos Ha'olam, different nations were asked, Mekalim Atem, you want to receive the Torah? And they say, you know, Makatipe, what is written in it? Well, don't steal, we can't hold by that. Don't kill, we can't hold by that. Jewish people, now Seven Ishmael, ready to do without asking questions. So ask Rabbi Sisyahu, this makes sense. You're ready to take something on without asking questions. I don't think that this is, you know, a secret of the Malachi Asharis. This is craziness. This is insanity. How do you sign on a dotted line without reading the contract? And the answer he gives is, based on Rosh Yeshiva, Ki bazeh ru Yisrael omer kavanatam b'darchei Hashem. This is the depth of understanding the ways of Hashem. Even if they thought in their mind they can't do this mitzvah, like not speak lashon hara, my gosh, what do you want from us? They understood. Clearly, in the asterisks in 13, Hashem has given us, embedded in the Torah, the ability to do this. Barati yitzahara, barati Torah tavlin. Obviously, the Klai Yisrael understood, and this was a secret that they tapped into. Whatever Hashem commands us, He's given us the ability to withstand this. And this really flips around our whole view on how we look at the mitzvot that are found in the Torah. Rav Elia Lopia and Lev Eliyahu in Source 14 points out that many people think that Hashem created the Torah for the world. And the truth is, no. He created the world for Torah. Because Hashem wanted to create a heaven and earth and to bring Torah down here. So he had to create in the Torah different things, in the world, different things that the Torah would respond to. Let's put this in English. He says, for example, we normally think that the Torah commands us not to steal, not to kill, etc. Hare anu mifarshim keyot v'adam alul liknov l'rtzalach. L'chein ba'atara v'yisira lo tiknov. We normally think that because we have an inclination to steal and to do these terrible things, the Torah came and said, no, don't do this. No, he said. Alvahem esen, okay. Why would Hashem create us with a desire to kill and to steal, to do these terrible things? If Hashem wanted a peaceful world, Fakir, He should have created us not having these things. So Elia explains very, very powerfully. Hashem wanted to give Torah to man. And he recognized in giving Torah to a person that within the Torah is the ability to work on our midos. And Hashem wanted to give us reward. So Hashem created us with these passions, with this inclination. Hashem created us with a desire to kill, with a desire to steal, in order for us to live a Torah lifestyle and overcome this desire not to kill, not to steal. It's not that we had the desire to kill and steal and then the Torah said, don't do it. No. Hashem first created the Torah. He first looked into the Torah. And he said, in the Torah it says, don't kill. Which means I have to create man with the desire to kill and then living a Torah lifestyle that will get rewarded for not killing. And that's how we have to understand the whole understanding of what Torah is about. That Yiras Hashem Tahara Omedet La'at. The only thing that's stopping us, the only thing that's enabling us to be strong and not to follow our inclination is Yiras Hashem, is fear of God. If it wasn't for the fear of God, then we would very much fall into these traps. And that's why Torah, Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem, the beginning of Torah study is Yiras Hashem. That is the bedrock of everything. When I understand that Torah is predicated on Yiras Hashem, and that what Hashem wants from me is to work, Hakol Bidei Shemayim Chutz Meyiras Shemayim, everything is in the hands of heaven except fear of heaven. When He wants me to work on fear of heaven, when He wants me to overcome these inclinations, then I've lived the mindset He had, Kivyachol, when creating the world. And this, going back to the Malbim, explains why would Hashem make such a major event in 16 out of the revelation of what appears to be a very obvious and basic principles of morality? Rather, this was in order to impress upon the Jewish people the realization that these are not mere logical imperatives, but rather divine commandments that we must observe out of fear of God. Because if not, if we observe them based merely upon our own understanding of what is right and wrong, then our intellectual muscles will ultimately fail when confronted with the power of desire. And we have seen this occur to many nations who have abandoned these a priori laws of morality in favor of theft, in favor of adultery, and in favor of murder and massacre. And that's why you take a look at the last, 70 years in the world. The Germans, Max Schumann, were the most cultured of people. How could they act in such a barbaric way? And the answer is because when their desire overcomes and there's no Yiras Hashem, then people will do the craziest of things. Avraham Avinu, continuing 17, taught this lesson to Avimelech, king of Gerar, and his confrontation with him. When asked by Avimelech why Avraham misrepresented Sarah as his sister rather than his wife, Avram answered, only because there's a lack of fear of God in this place. Therefore I knew that they would kill her. They would kill me on behalf, because of my wife. So have you noticed any murderers or wife snatchers among our people, Avimelech asked Avram? And Avram answered, and this is the key in the asterisk, that no matter how cultured, educated, moral, or mannered person or a nation may be, even a person who engages acts of charity, kindness, and justice, yet if he does so only out of duty to his intellect, then we cannot be sure that such a person or that such a nation's intellect will always overcome his desire. Because should the time come when his desire ignites toward another man's wife or toward another man's property, then when no one's watching, he, together with his intellect, will join in the hot pursuit of his base urges to commit murder, theft, and all these terrible things. Only one force. Raki ein yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh. That's what Avraham Avinu says to Avimelech. Because there's one thing missing here. You know what that one thing is? Yiras Hashem. And because the observance of these seemingly logical commands is upon the fear of God, Hashem had to be able to give this revelation in public. And you see this as a theme throughout Parshas Yisro. Why does Hashem over and over again, it states here in Veschanan, what was the goal of Ma'amad Har Sinai? That we should have Yiras Hashem al Pnechem, the fear of God on us. That when we understand the revelation of God, when it comes in fire, and all the noise, and the kol shofar, and all of these sound effects, Klai Yisrael with trepidation understand that it's not up to them. It's not based on their mindset. It's kol kulo based on what is Ritzon Hashem. And what you have to have here is Yiras Hashem. What is the will of God? And take out your personal desires. The Drash Mordechai of Mordechai is in source number 18 echoes this, and he says, "Ki kasher adam poel lefi sichlo b'lo kniya lutzav elokia." When you're doing it just because this is what you feel like, hayom sichlo omer lokach. Today, your mind says to do one. Continues Rav Druk. Ulumachar, and tomorrow your Elohefech, your mind will tell you something else. Hasecho Nashi Umugbalu Mitsumsami Shochan Olenikiyot. We're full of brides, we're full of Nagios. I want to do this, I want to do that. And when a person wants to do what he wants to do, there's nothing stopping him. Unless you have Yiras Hashem. Unless you have that higher alter ego telling you. No. You know, he brings here a beautiful anecdote. Of the Or Sameach, Rav Meir Simcha Mitzvinsk. It's a great piece. Rav Meir Simcha had a gabbai, had a person who helped him out, who was a great Talmud Chacham, and he followed whatever the Or Sameach told him to do. And he always agreed with him. One time, the Or Sameach told the gabbai a certain thing, and the gabbai said, "No, I don't agree." So the Or Sameach said, I see you've never agreed with me until now. "What do you mean?" says the gabbai. "I've always agreed with you. This is the first time I don't agree with you," says the Or Sameach. "No, no, no. This whole time you've always agreed with me because you always felt what I said was right. And you did it not because I told you. You did it because you also thought it was correct. Now that I'm asking you to do something which you don't agree with, and you say, no, no, this time I'm not with you, it means you've never been with me. You've only been with yourself. You've only done it because this is what you also thought was correct. The litmus test comes when you don't agree with me, and then you're ready to do it nonetheless, then I know you really are with me." And this is the question we have to ask ourselves. V'chomo kein hu b'inyaneinu in the squiggling. Ikar kabbalos ha-tari liot nichna l'dat ha-tari kedosha v'lo l'asot l'fi sichlein. Do you know why HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the Aseret HaDibro in public, and this is the, you know, it's in every shul, you know, many shuls, the 10, you know, the tablets, and they're written down. Why were these mitzvot? Why not Shatnet? Why not Paraduma, things we don't understand? No, Bedavka, things you do understand, right? What I don't understand, of course I give over to God. I don't understand. You must have a reason, God. But the things that we think we understand, those are the Dafka, the things that we have to step back and say, it's not about me. It's not about my sechel. It's about what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. L'man yedu ke'akol sarich l'asol b'pnei shekach amra Torah v'lo l'fi shuku l'das v'svara. And not based on what we think, what feels good, what's our gut feeling. And just to add one more nekuda on this before we enter into the trees themselves, the Saba of Kelm, and a Sefer Beit Kelm, different Musar ideas from the Kelm Yeshiva, he notes here, and this is what we spoke about at length last week, Hadam gadol mitzad achad v'katan ma'od mitzad sheni. There is tremendous greatness in us and tremendous smallness in us. Ki yoter gadol, the greater a person is in Torah and Yira, the greater they have the capacity to fall. And he likens this to, in a very beautiful imagery, to a king who gave over a sipur drawer, a wild bird, to his servant. And he says, be careful that you watch over this bird and not lose it. And we know that the moment this person is going to take their eyes off of this bird, it's going to go to the wild. That's us. Remember the imagery last week of the horse and the rider? There is a very strong part of us. We're created with the Yetzirah. And Hashem Dafka created us this way. It's not by accident. And there's a strong force that pushes us over the edge. And our job is to be able to take control of the reins at all times. To hold that bird in our hands so carefully, knowing our whole lives is like looking at the edge of a cliff. And if we're not careful, as Masil Sasharim points out, it's very easy to go overboard. Our job is to recognize this, to be cognizant of this, and to be able to realize that we are so limited. And the only thing that's going to keep us above board is Yiras Hashem. So my friends, part number one of the shir. Why did Kadosh Baruch Hu teach us these laws so publicly? And the answer is very simply. That understand that these laws are divine as everything else is divine. And because they're divine, it's beyond our intellect to understand them. And we have to do them because Hashem commanded me, and not because I understand them. And because Hashem commanded me, when I do these mitzvahs, I should have the same passion as when He commands me to light Shabbos candles, or take a lulav and esrog, or sit in the sukkah, or eat matzah, or any other mitzvah. It's coming from above, it's not coming from below. It's coming from what Hashem has envisioned for us, and understand that this is the way Hashem orchestrated the world, that He has these things here, and we have an understanding. Barati Yetzahara, Barati Torah Taflin. Hashem has the antidote within the Torah, and that's Yirat Shemayim. Avimelech, Ra'ang Yirat Elokim B'makom Hazeh. And when there's no Yirat Elokim, who knows what can happen. With this understanding, we can now look at these Dibros. We're leaving Lo Tachmod out because we've spoken about that in the Shir, and it's all right. We can go back to that Shir and listen to it, those who want. I'd like to take a look at the other mitzvahs. Not to steal, not to kill, not to, commit adultery. I'd like to look at these in a little bit of a different view and to see that when you look at it from the lens of the divine and not from our lens, the Torah is teaching us something completely different. Let's look at it with broad brushstrokes, and then we'll go into more specific. Rav Zeidel Lebstein, in source number 22, speaks about the Sabo of Sabadka says we have to learn Shilshona Torah v'sfata shonam alashon shalanu. The language of Torah is a very different language than our language. And when it talks about not to kill, it's not just talking about taking a knife or a gun, lo aleinu, and killing somebody, but it's also v'halbanat panim v'tzar chaveiro mikseh ashani kol zeh nechla beritzicha u'mitzuvim al zeh b'lo tirzach. And everyone according to their level. We know that when a person is going to, we take a look in the asterisks in 24, due to its combined religious, ethical, and logical implications, murder includes anything directly or indirectly causes the death of an individual. The commandment, you shall not kill, includes not only using weapons, but also false accusations, slander, bad counsel, which you know to lead someone's death, withholding information that can save someone from certain death, embarrassing somebody in public. All of these are included in Lo Tirzach. An example of this, of what the way the Torah understands, and again, there's a continuum based on who you are and how much accountability that you have. He quotes here from Rabbi Chaim Zev Finkelzatzel, Mashgiach of Mir. He says, the Navi tells us the following. The Navi tells us that Shaul was responsible, Shehemit et HaGivonim, that he killed the Givon people. So you look at all of Navi, and you don't see anywhere that Shaul actually killed the Givonim. So what does the Navi mean, that he killed this group of people when he did? So our rabbis explain, listen closely, it's a Gemara Baba Kama, that Shaul was responsible for killing out the Irakonim, those 80 or so priests in the city of Nov. And the Givonim were the water carriers and the wood choppers for these people. When he killed out the city of Nov, these people were left without a parnasa, without food. And therefore, he damaged them, and it was as if he caused their death as well. Wow. Rosa, you see what we see here? That when the Torah says, Lo Tirzach, move away from society understanding of Tirzach, understand that it's so much more complex than this. And likewise, let's take another example, again in broad strokes, and then we'll go more specific. not to steal. Back to the Sefer Aros, the arrow in 22. Listen to this. The Gemara tells us, Adam shomrim lo shalom. You go over to somebody and say, Shalom, hello. Ve'eino ona, and they don't respond. Over al isur gezo, you're over on stealing. What have you stolen from? You've stolen the ability to recognize another person. You've stolen humanity. Eizek zeila hi thema, ani zek zeila shalom. B'musagim zeh lo muvan, omnam b'gemar ravash, it's a gezo mamish. We don't understand it. Someone says, shalom alechem, and you don't answer, that's like you're stealing from a poor person? Huh? Yeah. Because there's a lot more to stealing than just money or property. Let's go a little bit further and just wiggle it. Mi sheyesh be'efshirato le'odedu le'chazek et chaveira. One who has the ability to encourage, to give, you know, positive feedback, to strengthen their friend. Sheyomad yoter tov, that he can learn a little bit more, can be more successful. The yaseh gadol b'Torah posek b'Yisrael, wow, you're doing great. You know, a few more hours of shteiking, you could really become a gadol. The lo asah came, and you didn't do this. You had the ability to build somebody up, and you didn't do it. Harei zeh ratzach et hagadol shel chaveiro b'chaveiro. You killed the ability of this person to be great. You killed the gadolness of this person. Did you make your friend king over you? And if not, if you don't treat him the way he should be treated, you've robbed him, you've killed him of his dignity. And again, we're held responsible based on the level we're at. Like at the end of 23, the Gemara that talks about that the students, Rabbi Akiva, Shalonagu, Kavot, Zelosa, they didn't show honor and respect to one another. Were Chayav Misa. What was their cause for being killed? The Gezela Mina Sheni Kvoda. They stole from each other their honor, their mahuto, their essence, their hanato. This is Daska Rabbi Akiva's students who says, Vahavterechaka Kamocha, the Klau Gadol Torah. So they had, on their level, a Chayav Misa. For both sides, do you understand what we're saying here? It is very, very profound. Frankly, very scary. Opportunities that we have to build others up. Opportunities that we have to give people a good feeling. And each and every one of us know, in the position that we're in, whether we're in a position of authority, we're in the position of a teacher, we're in the position of somebody looks up to, and we're a person of respect, and what we say can go a long way. So then we have a real obligation. We have an obligation to build people up. We have an obligation to praise people. We have an obligation. And if we don't, it's stealing. We've stolen the potential in this person. We've stolen the dignity in this person. Rabosai, lo tirtzach, lo tignov, it's said in public because the enormity of what it means to be created in the divine image and the divine expectations. Let's take a look now a little bit more deeply into these ideas. We'll begin with Lekes Hichos Musar, Rav Yitzchak Eisesher, Slabat Grof Shishivata, where he says, and quite a number of refreshing point this out, if you want to have an understanding of what the last five Dibros are about, take a look at the last idea that's found in our Parsha, which is the Shir in its own right, which we've spoken about, which seems almost not to belong. It's the halacha about when you build a Mizbeach, you should build a Mizbeach out of stone, but make sure you do not put any metal on it, because metal shortens the life of a person, and the Mizbeach is here to create peace, to create long life, and you should build a ramp so that when a person going up, it's not like stairs, that you shouldn't see any erva, any type of something that's not snish, that's not modest. So why does this end this way? Because this halacha is really teaching us about our mitzvos. Notes the Lekes Hichos Musar the following. He says, any type of matechet, any type of metal is not allowed. Why? If sharut zu poselot et ha-shimush b'barzel l'vnod ha-mizbeach, b'niyat ha-mizbeach, to build a mizbeach, yesh kan negiyah ziv kol shi b'lav shalot tirtzach. It has to do with Lo Tirtzach. You have to be careful not to involve yourself in anything of metal. If the Mizbeach, you're not allowed to be involved in anything that has any metal whatsoever, because metal is an instrument of war, instrument of killing, so too in your life, you should not have any element of killing. One who doesn't, one who doesn't, you know, try to have as many children as you can, as if you've committed murder. You embarrass somebody in public. It's hard to hurt a person if you're careful about their honor. But when you've killed their honor, when you've embarrassed them publicly, so then it's very easy, the next step of actually killing them. We have to be careful to step away from any aspect that even comes close. And likewise, you can't walk upstairs on the altar. You need to have a ramp. So you might see a little bit of a person's legs. Give me a break. Yes. That little is a lack of sneeze. And the lack of sneeze that you have within yourself is going to be able to then transfer over into a lack of sneeze to other people. And then niyuf. Then adultery. And all the things that come with adultery are going to be on its heels. We have to realize that this is, granted, not something we understand, but this is what the Torah is trying to give over. And he notes very clearly in 27 that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to teach us here one important principle, and that's a bracket in 27. Dafka b'maymer ha-gadol hazeh, in this great ceremony, shoponim v'ponim, tiber Hashem achem v'har v'toch ha'esh, that Hashem spoke to us face to face among the fire. Bechiba Yuseira, Shein Kedug Masa, with tremendous love, that was unparalleled. Bemama Zekilano et Sodo, Bedi Borlo Tirzach. What Hashem is really telling us is, Ech Shechaviv Adam Lufanav, Shenivra Betzamo. How precious is Hashem was created in His image, Betzelem to Botavito. And if I recognize how precious we are, that we were created in Hashem's image, and that Hashem is speaking us face to face, then how precious it is, as we began with, everyone is created in Hashem's image, and Hashem wants us to guard every single person with this type of hakpada, with this type of awareness. And hence, that's the famous halacha in 28, that if somebody is hanged, you can't leave their body overnight. The idea of burying someone right away, because it's a kavod, it's the honor due to the Tzelem Elohim. This is what this halacha of Mizbeach is all about. It's about kavod. It's about being careful about other people. Rav Svei, Elia Svei, Zatzal, in Ruach Eliyahu 29, quotes this idea of the Mizbeach based on Rav David Pravatsky, and he takes it one step further. And he says, okay, I get it. You can't take a sword on the Mizbeach because a sword kills. But any type of metal? I mean, it's not the metal that kills. Metal does some very positive things, right? You can make many things out of metal. It's the person that kills. He says, you're right. He said, but the Torah here, by saying, Lo tanif alev barzel, not to have any metal, is teaching us something very profound. And that is in 30, Lamrod shenachon, shabarzel tzmo no machrive no mekatzer. You're right, it's not the metal itself. Yesh b'chol zo reach shachorban. Reach shamekatzer yamim. And it's really hard to translate reach here. Reach literally means a smell. It means a taste of. It means an aspect of. And when the Torah says, I don't want metal, it means I don't want any aspect that's going to come close to Ritzicha. Just like metal has the potential to kill, I don't want in Lo Tirzach that you should come to the potential of hurting somebody where their dignity is taken away. And the example that he gives is, the first example that he gives is L'dugma 31. Im shomim in the asterisk et tamaro be'eretz Yisrael. If you, let's say, are listening to the news, read the paper, and you hear about something happens in Eretz Yisrael, and there's a pikuv alo aleinu, and somebody was killed, something like that. Umamshichim halak ki'ilu lo iraklum, and you just, you know, go on with your Cheerios, you know, turning the page as if nothing happened. Nafsim adishim l'shvichut ha'damim, Zehureach Sheriticha, and you become impervious. You don't react to death. So then that's a taste of Ritzicha. This is an aspect where if you're not going to react when somebody has died and you're just going on with your day, you're not going to say Tehillim for their neshama. You're not going to be more sensitive to the person you're sitting with, and it makes absolutely no impression on you. That's an aspect of Barzel. It's an aspect of metal. You've become totally apathetic and cold to human life. How could that be? Wow, that's intense, my friends. Let's go on. We know the very famous Chazal, that when Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol was being taken out, one of the Asara Haruge Malchus, to be killed, he turned to the Nasi at that time, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, and he says, Rabbi, tell me, is there anything I could have possibly done that I am deserving to be killed like a murderer? So Rabbi Shimon asked him, has it ever been that an almana, a widow, came to you to ask you a question, to talk to you about something, and you said, wait 1 minute, I just have to tie my shoelace, you know, or buckle my sandal, whatever they had, lean o min alo, and can you wait a minute? And we know that by a yasam and almana, imanota now, so 32, echad inu in meruba, echad inu in muat, varaktetem vetcharev. It doesn't matter if it's small or big. If you make them wait and make them feel bad, then the result is you'll be killed by the sword. To which Rabbi Shmuel said, Nichamtani Rebbe, you've appeased me. Now, let's understand this. The woman, says Rav Svein 32, the woman comes into Rabbi Shmuel's house. To be around the presence of the Kohen Gadol was probably the biggest kavod. Do you think she minded waiting there? Of course not. But deep in her heart, she may have said, if I was so-and-so's wife, if I was a rich person, he wouldn't have made me wait. It's only because I'm an amana that I'm waiting. There was some lack, perhaps, of sensitivity to her, and that she felt in her heart that he was belittling, on some level, obviously, not consciously, her stature, and mitzvat ha-Torah, that's already, shame shel shvichus damim, that's already murder. And my friends, if you think about this, how many times have things like this happened to us? And again, I'm saying this very clearly, and the Sfarim say this very clearly. Everyone is judged on the level that they're at. Having said that, we need to, A, be on a level that we should be judged that way, halavai, and B, sensitivity happens whether we're on that level or not. Today's day and age, how many times do we text and we're talking to somebody at the same time? What are we saying to them? You're not worth it to look into your eyes and actually talk to you. I need to be doing something else. The person I'm texting is more important than you. What message are we giving? What message are we giving our children when we're waiting on carpool line and we're on the phone when they come into the car? What message are we giving? These are the questions that we have to ask ourselves. So perhaps you're right. It may not be a lo tirsach, you know, don't kill. No, God forbid I never kill. But maybe a reach. It may be a taste. It may be a scent. It may be an aspect, and that's what we have to be careful of. You know, like, anytime you put, like, you know, beautiful perfumes into a room, the scent goes everywhere. So it's not as a strong scent when you smell it right there. But, you know, a while away, you still get a sense of it, and a scent of it. And that's what we're talking about here. Let's give another example that Rosve gives, 33. We know, the Ekla Rufa. If a man is found dead and no one knows who killed him, the elders of the city take a calf, they cut off its head, and they say, by a river, a nachal, yadetalush of wood, a damaza, our hands did not spill this blood. So the obvious question is, did we think that the elders did kill him? No. It means that they say we didn't send him off without an escortment, food, and etc. So even if I did send him out with food, and I'd even escort him out of the city, he still may have been killed. Like, what does that mean? Like, what's going on here? So he explains the following. Listen closely. 33, the arrow. Acha hezber hi, kima shelo livuhu. When they say we accompanied him, it means that had they not accompanied him, it would mean shelo akshiva, we'll tell. What they're saying is that we are responsible had we not accompanied him. Because had we not accompanied him, what we're saying to him is, you really don't matter. You come, you go, who really cares? They didn't accompany him, then they are indeed responsible. Why? Because what they're saying is like, your life is cheap, who needs you? We don't really care if anything happens to you. As a result of this, if this fellow was not accompanied, they are indeed guilty. Why? Because then he looks at himself and says, well, I guess I'm not worth that much. And therefore, when robbers would come on him, he doesn't have the omets, he doesn't have the willpower to fight, to save his life, because he doesn't feel his life is worth saving. Rabosai, what implications does this have for us? How many of these children at risk is because we haven't given them the feeling that they're worth it, their self-esteem? So again, you know, this is like a little bit heavy to lay all the blame on. You're right. Having said that, we have to have this enormous sensitivity. That's why Lo Tirtzach is said by the Aseret HaDibrot. Don't use the logical law, I've never killed anybody, next. Understand it from Torah terminology. What does it mean not to hurt anybody? And that's why a major part of Lo Tirtzach is found in 35, if Habanas Panim, the Sefer L'Reacha Kamocha, not embarrassing somebody. Habanas Panim, according to many poskim, is under Yehereg Val Yavor. It's part of Shvichus Damim. It's part of Abisrayo of Shvichus Damim. Pshutokam Hashmo Mamash. And the Yisur 36 of Habanas Panim happens even if you embarrass somebody privately and nobody else is around. Obviously, if someone's around, it's even worse. So he gives the example. Reuven's talking to Shimon on the phone. And he says something very, very harsh that he knows is going to embarrass Shimon. Shimon is standing by himself, and his face turns white. He's still guilty of Habanas Panim. Habanas Panim, embarrassing somebody, we normally think, oh, don't embarrass somebody publicly. But if you embarrass them privately, what's the big deal? Can you imagine embarrassing somebody and no one else is around? They're privately speaking on the phone in their room? It's still Habanas Panim. It's still Ritzicha. It's still murder. And that's what we have to understand. And to a certain degree, he says in 38b, at the bottom right, it's even worse than murder. Do you know why it's worse than murder? It's worse than murder because when you murder somebody, Lord Lady, you know it does something wrong. You could do tshuva. Here, you may not even realize what you've done. And then that's far worse. It's harder to do tshuva. Included in this murder is speech. Sometimes we can say something that a person will lose their job, that a person will lose whatever it is. And that also has implications. If we're not careful about the way we speak, that also has ripple effects. And he says, Zehu hasber shonem adui ish mochama ba'olam, the end of 38. This is a different, deeper reason why there's war in the world. Hasber shalokatu beitonim, an explanation that's not found in the newspapers. Kasher kayem eto klaisrol hitrashlu b'chumad avonu ritzicha. When we treat other people lightly, when we treat death lightly, when we treat people's honors lightly, is it any wonder that war comes into the world? War, very much, the way we act as Yidim, as Jews, is going to have an effect, a ripple effect on the entire world. You want to stop bloodshed in this world? You know where it starts? It starts with our being careful of reyach, of having even a scent, a smell, a taste of any type of hurting the dignity of another human being. Just to end this idea, Rav Sher points out in 34, a Gevaldic piece. He says, we know the halacha is this idea of not putting metal to build the Mizbeach has ramifications halachically of not having a knife on the table when we bench. And the idea is the Shulchan is a Mizbeach, our table is likened to an altar, and except for Shabbos, if there's a knife on the table, we either cover it up or we take it off the table. So says Rav Sher the following. He says, the reason why we take off the knife off the table is not just because we take the knife off the table, but it's teaching us something else.
Hashem
if I'm taking off the knife in order not to be mechallel the mizbeach, not to profane the mizbeach. So, and the Shulchan is still metal mizbeach, and I understand that I'm not supposed to have any type of metal on the mizbeach, and that sensitivity I have towards the mizbeach, that the mizbeach is a place of peace, and I don't want to have anything of war. How much more so human beings are beings of peace? How much more so my interpersonal relationship with others should be ones of peace? Taking off the knife is bringing Yirah Shamayim into me to remind me not to knife someone in the back. It's reminding me how I treat other people. If I'm careful about not having the knife on the table, it's a reminder to me how careful I have to be in the feelings of other people. How careful I have to be of the reach, of the aspect of ritzicha, of murder. Let's take a look now at geneva, at stealing. Let's understand this a little bit deeper. And again, it's machloket, Rashi and the other Mefarshim, whether it's kidnapping or it's actually stealing. Let's talk about stealing for a minute. There is this idea in source number 40 that geneva stat, stealing the mind of a person, is included in the mitzvah of lo tignovu. You should not steal. If no monetary loss is involved, it's derabanan, otherwise it's midaraisa. Fooling someone is in certain ways worse than 41 than stealing. It comes from the book To Live Among Friends, than stealing their belongings, because by fooling him, you're placing a false perception into his mind, which is the supreme characteristic of a human being. Hashem punishes more severely for fooling someone than for stealing his money. For stealing his money is not as bad as stealing his body, his heart, or his mind. Cheating in business is also a violation of geneivas daat, among other sins. If you're selling a house or a car, and something is wrong with it, and the buyer cannot know unless he's told, you're obligated to tell him. If you do not tell him, you're in violation of cheating and geneivas daat. Acting with extreme piety in public, but not in private, is geneivas daat midrabanan. This is also a form of flattery. It is naturally easier to act somewhat more piously in an atmosphere that lends itself to more righteous behavior, and this does not constitute geneivas daat. It only becomes geneivas daat when this is purposely acted out in order to create a false impression. Often no one will know other than Hashem. Even one word of geneivas daat is forbidden. Your speech should be honest, your spirit correct, your heart pure from all vice and deceit. In this Sefer, To Live Among Friends, he goes on pages and pages of examples. So, for example, you happen to be at the airport dropping somebody off, and you see a good friend of yours has come in, and he says to you, "Wow, what a surprise that you came to pick me up. Thank you so much." For you to say, "Sure, I found out when your flight is, and I came to get you," that's geneivas daat. You're stealing his mind. He thinks you came to get him. The honest thing to say is, "You know, what a great hashgacha. I happened to be dropping somebody off at the airport. What perfect timing that I saw you." Honesty. So that they don't have a full suppression. And this happens over and over again. You buy something nice and you put it, or make a cake and you put it on the table and somebody comes to visit. And you say, "Wow, you made this just for me?" And the answer you have to say is, all right, part of us says, "Yeah, I'm so happy." No, you say, "I didn't make it just for you. I'm so happy you came just now. It happens to be we're celebrating A, B, or C. And you know what? I'm happy you're able to join us in the celebration." Not geneivas daat. I'm not stealing the mind of another person. This is something that happens over and over again that we have to be aware of what stealing is about. And then you have reachs. Then you have aspects of stealing that, again, are so sublime that we don't even think about it. 43, reach shel geneivas. Mar tells a story of Mar Zutra Chasida, that a gavia shel kesef, a wine goblet, a silver goblet, was taken from his house. And he was looking for the gunov. And then he saw that one of the people sitting there was drawing his hands on a fellow's clothes. He says, "You're the robber." And he was. How did he know it? He says, if you're not careful about other people's belongings, that you're ready to dry your clothes on somebody else's, robe, then I know that you could be the thief. Because you're not careful about other people's possessions. When you see that people are lackadaisical about what doesn't belong to them, they watch over something, put it anywhere, I don't care where it lands. It's a reach shel geneva. You're not careful enough which doesn't belong to you. Listen to this one, 39. Rav Rivlin, Yeshiva Kerem B'Yavne, 39, in his Sichos on Parsha says, V'yesh gam hidurim shel bala musar b'yisur gezel. The bala musar have, you know, higher levels, what we call the reyach of geneva. Kigon ha'yisur, for example, hold on tight, to stand in the doorway and block fresh air from people coming, for people to have in the room. All right, to stand by the window and block all the air coming in, you're stealing from them air. You're stealing from them being able to breathe and to be comfortable. Wow. This is intense. This is Mamat Har Sinai. This is divine. And finally, the Reyach Shel Arayos, an aspect of Arayos. So obviously, Arayos of the morality. So you say, well, I don't get involved in that. You're right. However, there's also other areas of Znut. Yeshnut HaPet, Rav El Yosvei, Zetzal points out in 44. There is using profane language. Znut Hainayim Vos Naim, listening and seeing things that are inappropriate. All of this is a reach shel arayos. And that's how we have to create boundaries. And he says, people who bring in magazines or other electronic devices and are not careful with what comes into the house, it's a reach shel arayos. Having, you know, small things. And again, where you're holding on what level. Having even sometimes just the New York Times with these full-page ads of women who are barely dressed in lingerie or Kmart, whatever. So, again, I'm not telling you it's arayos. I am saying to you is be careful what comes into your home. You have boys in your home. You have a man in your home. What are they looking at in these things? This is the sensitivity that we need to have. Kamitz Rishim leaves the hair, mavo nivo peh. How careful we have to be not to use street language, not to use profanity, not to use curse words. These are all about making gedarim that we don't have the slippery slope. And he says, our job as B'nai Torah has to be that not only do we have to be careful about all the lavim that are found here, but we have to be careful about all the aspects that come with it. And we can only be able to appreciate this when we understand the background that we began with, that all of this is divine, and Hashem gathered us together, and He created us with these inclinations and with these strictures in order to give us reward. And when I look at all of this, I have to keep in mind that the goal of Torah, the goal of Mamat Har Sinai, the goal of my life is Reish V'Chochma Yiras Hashem. Is I have to have an awareness of Hashem in front of me at all times. I have to have the mindset of Kedusha and Tara, purity and holiness at all times. I have to keep with the understanding that Hashem appeared to me, Panim al Panim, face to face. All of us were there. The holiness of Chaviv Adam Shenev Rabbit Selam. How beloved am I who's created in the image of God, and how beloved is everyone else who's created in the image of God. And therefore, when my interpersonal dealings have to be as big as the Enochi Hashem Elokecha, it has to be written out in neon lights, because it's beyond my sechel. It's not about what makes sense to me. It's about the tremendous sensitivity the Torah demands on how I treat other people. This tremendous sensitivity that the Torah demands on how I view other people's property. How it view the sensitivity and awareness of other people and the emotions of others, just waiting for those few minutes, even a few minutes. Rabbi Shmuel said, Nichamtani, you've comforted me. I understand how sensitive we need to be to other people. And that, my friends, is the bracha that I leave all of us with, that we should be able to understand when the Torah is commanding us things that seemingly make sense to us, we have to step back and say, it's not about us. It's about Yiras Hashem. And I have to be able to go into the insights of Chazal and be as careful as I can, not only not to violate any of these things, but not to violate even a cent of any of these things. And when we're matzliach in this, we've created peace within ourselves and our family, then indeed each and every one of us can have a ripple effect of creating peace in the larger world.